Blog Talk Radio.
Morning to you, man. Morning to you, love. Africa must wake up, sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now. Well, Africa must wake up, you sleeping sons of Jacob. But what tomorrow may bring, may a better day come. This a day we working. Can you tell me, young ones, who are we today? Yeah, now.
Hallelujah. Abba Yah. In the name of our Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all. Thank you for blessing us with the gift of life. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for this holy time that we enter into, Father, for your Shabbat, a time that you bless, a time that you sanctify, a time that you set apart, Father, for man and yourself. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for all our sins, that you forgive us for all our shortcomings. We ask, Father, that you continue to lead us, guide us, protect us, as we go through the journey of life, as we go through the journey of learning your word and seeing what you require of us. Father, thank you for choosing us, your sons, your daughters, Israel. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for giving us life. But most of all, thank you for giving us your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, Redeemer, and soon coming King. Hallelujah. And welcome to Bible 101. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother, Darrell. Continuing with the parables. So, last week, sorry about that, family, a little tired fighting this demon. It's funny that our brother picked that song, that the sons of Jacob got to wake up. Because, you know, sometimes we love to sleep, and that's not good all the time, especially when you belong on watch, especially when, you know, the Most High needs you focused and vigilant, you know. So, forgive me if I'm yawning and everything, but that's what I'll be doing. I'm fighting to sleep. So, last week, we talked about being a good worker for the Most High. And so this week, we're going to pick up in the book of Matthew, chapter 20. All right. We're going to look at that parable. You know, we talked about being useful. All right, now, Matthew chapter 20. starting in verse 1. It reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the master of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So, as we look and we see, the master has a vineyard. He went out looking for people to work his vineyard. All right. And as he was working this vineyard, he went out, you know, early in the morning, hired some folks, and they agreed to a payment. So the payment was set. And he went out and found some other folks a little bit later, and a little bit later, and a little bit later, and put all of them to work all the way up to the 11th hour. And everybody agreed. Everybody got the same payment. So let's look at something that we looked at last week in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. He says, For the vineyard of Yahweh of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So, this vineyard that Yahweh had is Israel. And he looked for men to serve and give out and do righteously. Okay? That's what he did. He went out from the beginning and look for men to do righteousness and to work within Israel, to cultivate Israel. So who were those men? They were the prophets. They were the priests. They were the ones, as he said, chosen. He said, many are called, few are chosen. So from the beginning of the time of Israel, from the beginning of the time when Israel was first formed, men were picked. All right? But also, from the beginning of the earth, men were picked. All right? So, let's look at, we're going to look at our passage back in Genesis. Genesis 3:17. All right? Now, his word was given to man. Always. And when he says to do righteously, what does he mean? Right? Genesis 3:17. He says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So, we know Adam was inside of the Garden of Eden, the original worker, the one that was picked from the beginning. And he did not do righteously. So he was put out and he was took to tilling the earth. He had to work the earth, break up the ground of the earth. So by the sweat of thy brow, now all these different things are going to happen. So why did he get kicked out? We read it. Because he did not listen. He did not hearken unto the voice of the Most High. He didn't listen to him. So, what type of worker was Adam? Was he that good worker? Was he that useful worker? Because we're all supposed to be laboring for these things. All right? And we were reading the story, as life continued, other men were picked. You had Adam, then you had Enoch, then you had Noah, then you had Abraham, then you had Isaac, Jacob, and the list goes on and on. All right? But all these men were trusted to work the vineyard. All right? That's what they were trusted to do, to go to work and be a workman, the Most High. Why? They were chosen. They were picked. All right? Now, come on, go back to something, back in Matthew chapter 20. Go back to the parable. Now, back Matthew chapter 20, verse 2, right? He says, and when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them to the vineyard. So, the amount or what you get, what you were going to get, was set. Your payment was agreed to way back when. whoever was chosen got the same payment. All right? So everybody's working for the same thing. Something else he says down a little bit further. All right. Now, the payment was already set. Verse 10, Matthew chapter 20, verse 10. He says, well, let's start at verse 9. He says, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. So, like I said, because the agreement and the payment was set way back when, from the first. So as we labor and we keep on going, the payment was already set. No matter what time you came into work, the payment was already set, right, and agreed to. So the first made the agreement, and it went on down to the last. Because, remember, he made this agreement with the first man. He didn't say, okay, come on in. And at the third hour, he said, come on into my vineyard and work for the penny. No, he told him, come on in, and whatever's right, that's what you're going to get. And he said that to everybody else. So the payment was set with the first, but everybody after that got the same thing because of what the first agreed to, all right? So now he says, in verse 10, he says, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. Verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Saying these last have wrought but 1 hour, but thou hast made them equal unto us, which has borne the burden and heat of the day. When we listen to this parable, and we think about where we are, because we are the laborers of the 11th hour, okay? Our heat and all this stuff that we're going to bear and all that, everything that we're going to go through, we're going to go through some stuff. Because Yahushua said we're going to go through some stuff. But do we realize that the word that we get, the payment that we get, is going to be equal to every prophet that was before us? We think that Moses, David, Solomon, all these men, that all these prophets that we read about, we're going to get the same payment that they got. Because the people who were in the 11th hour got the same thing as the people in the first hour. So at the very end, he says, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. When I read that, I thought it was a long time ago. I used to think it was like a role reversal type thing. But it's really talking about equality, because everybody's getting the same thing. You know, even when it talks about we only work 1 hour, but yet you made these men equal unto us, the ones who bears the burden and this, that, and another. How is that? And they murmured against it. Now, that part we're going to discuss a little bit later, the murmuring part, all right? But we all are getting the same thing. The payment is going to be equal.
So what is the payment? He says, wait for a second, family. Philippians chapter. No, I'm sorry. Gotta find out. I don't think I put this verse in there. Yeah, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Where's the payment? He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, that's the payment, is salvation. That's what we're supposed to be working towards. We're supposed to be working towards the salvation of the Most High. From the first man chosen to the last man chosen. Supposed to be working out salvation. Working out your own salvation. Fearing the Most High. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That is our work. I'm sorry to say, a lot of people within Israel aren't doing that work. Because remember, there were certain people chosen within Israel to show these other Israelites the road to salvation, how to work out their salvation. Because everybody don't know. Few were chosen. Many were called, but few were chosen. People just don't get it. They don't understand. How is it that in Israel, you have a belief of the Messiah, but then he came and Israelites don't believe him? They understand that a Savior was promised to them. And he came. And people don't believe in them, but yet they call themselves Israelites. How is it that it's such a beef, such disagreement, such a split within Israel? So many debates, so many arguments. How is anybody going to be saved? Who's working out their salvation? Who's being showed the path to salvation? How, within all this confusion, what's the right way? What's really going on with Israel? And then on top of that, Israel just being a microcosm of the world, what's going on with the world? Because all the things that's going on with Israel is just on a small scale what's going on in the world. Look at all the debates that's going on in the world. So never mind, is there a Savior in the world you have? Is there a God? Just a microcosm. The world is in shambles. The world needs to be shown how to work out their salvation. So, the Most High throughout the ages have picked men from the beginning all the way up until now. And he's still picking now. He's still choosing men right now to show people the way, to get them going, to get them moving this world in the right direction, to give them that choice of fire and water. Right? So he says, all right, let's look at something else. The work of salvation. Now, if you remember, starting off, we talked about the forerunner, and what his message would be. Repent for the kingdom of the Most High is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. That's the word. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Because these men working and laboring within Israel, right? He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the work of the world worketh death." So, we have to turn back from our wicked ways. Remember, what was the agreement? The agreement was, we're going to read that a little bit later, "Obey my voice." We got kicked out, we being our forefather Adam, when we first read, because, and this is what he said, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife and not mine, because you're doing things outside of what I told you, you got to go." And that's what we have in Israel right now. Everybody's doing, listening to voices outside of the Most High. And Yahweh allowed that. Why? Because in order to work out your salvation, you have to repent. You have to turn about. You have to make that about face. You have to. He said, within this garden that he created, that he put Adam to work the task in the Garden of Eden, he said in the midst of it was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're supposed to, and literally, knowledge, learning, information. You have good information, you have bad information. And this is what Adam chose to listen to his wife about, to partake of. The good information and the bad information. That's what we're supposed to be learning from, the good and the bad. Everything in this world has, what they say, for every action that is an equal and opposite reaction. Thing has its counterpart. And we're supposed to learn from both. The Most High says, "I choose you this day, fire or water. I'm commanding you to pick the water. That's what I want you to do. I want you to pick," he said, "set before you fire, water, life, death. Choose life. That's what I want you to do. You're going to experience both, because both is being put before you through these experiences. Choose life." So when you're experiencing the negative or the fire, repent from it. When you're experiencing, as what we just read, the work of the world causes death, repent of it. Godly sorrow, work of salvation. Come back to the Most High when you see you being pulled out into that world as men and women of Israel. We have to show people the way. Why? You are the light of the world. Everybody else is in gross darkness. That's what the words say. But not you, Israel. You are the light of the world. You don't have to grope in the darkness. You don't have to feel your way around. You are the light. There is light to your footsteps, as the word says. It's a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. That's what he says about his word.
So you don't have to grope around in the darkness and feel and this, that, and enough. You don't have to do that. You can see exactly where you're going. And because you can see exactly where you're going, that makes you a guide. You are the one who knows the path because you can see exactly where you're going. All right?
So, godly sorrow, work of repentance to salvation. This is how we get our reward. Right? But the sorrow of the world, work of death. All right? Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, keep on building on this point. He says, and you that he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So at one point, we were dead in our sins, right? And this is the part where we talk about the murmuring. So before we get into that, let me go back right quick. Matthew chapter 20, he says this. He says, verse 11, he says, verse 10. Matthew chapter 20, verse 10, he said, but when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden in the heat of the day. But he answered them. He answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give this unto the last, even unto the first. So, again, talking about equality. So, back to Ephesians, he said, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, specifically, he's talking about the Gentiles.
Right? So what happened with the Gentiles? The Gentiles come in at the 11th hour because Israel was chosen from the beginning. They were supposed to work the vineyard, right? But now you got the Gentiles coming in at the 11th hour. And what happened? If you read the New Testament, they murmured. Gentiles were made equal to Israel. Paul talks about how they were grafted in and how that middle wall of partition was torn down and how now these people are part of the commonwealth of Israel. So that means everything Israel was to inherit, now these Gentiles are going to inherit. And what happens? Israel murmured. They took up issue with Yahweh. But Yahweh said, I'm a good master. And with this salvation that I own, see, because Israel, you don't own salvation. Salvation is a gift that I give unto you. So I'm giving this unto you. Now I'm choosing also to give unto these Gentiles because Israel, truth be told, you weren't doing what you were supposed to do. You weren't on point, Israel. You didn't obey my voice, Israel. You broke covenant with me, Israel. You broke the agreement. And now you're murmuring, just like in this parable. You're murmuring. You want to break the agreement again because you think you deserve more. Because you wrought through the heat. Our ancestors wrought the heat. They worked and they did these things and they bore the burden of it. But they bore the burden of their sins. So now you have Israelites out here telling these Gentiles that they can't even get salvation because they're Gentiles. No, Messiah just came for the house of Israel. Originally, he did. But guess what? Grace was extended to them. And now, 2,000 years later, you Pharisees, you modern-day Pharisees, who are trying to keep people out of the kingdom, and you're not going to get in the kingdom yourself, as Mashiach said, you have the same thing going on. You're trying to keep people out of the kingdom. You murmur against the Most High when you do these things in the 11th hour because you think you deserve more than the other people that Yahweh have chosen. And guess what? We're going to read something. We're going to read something. Everybody. This applies to everybody, but specifically, that's the other people that came in. Because Yahweh said, hey, why y'all standing about here all day long at the 11th hour? Why y'all just standing still? Come on, work for me. Their answer was, because nobody has hired me. So guess what? Yahweh hired others to work his vineyard. Because the original workers were messing up. Right? He says, where in times past you work, ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4. In other words, let me not skip over that part. At one time, Israel was just like the Gentiles. That's what Paul is saying here, right? He says, among whom also we all had our conversations. Now, he started off this section of the letter talking specifically to the Gentiles, right? And then he starts including himself, Israel, within that, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past. The same way y'all were children of wrath, so were we. The same way y'all were the children of disobedience, so were we. He knows the history of Israel. He understands how our forefathers disobeyed the Mighty One of heaven and earth. He understood that. We weren't the good laborers, and neither were they. So all of us had our conversations in the past with the power of the prince of the air. We all served Hasatan at one time, right? He says, verse 4, but Yah, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Mashiach. By grace ye are saved, and have raised us up together. See how everything, the same way we got raised up, you got raised up. The same way we were made alive, you were made alive. There's no separation no more. We're equal. Because we labor together for our salvation. We're working out our salvation. Right? He says, and have raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places
in Mashiach Yahushua. All right? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Mashiach Yahushua. In other words, our salvation is the same. The payment is the same. So it's no need to murmur. It's no need to act like. When we act in the manner that, okay, I am an Israelite, and because I am an Israelite, you are beneath me. I am a son of Abraham, and you are not. So therefore, I am greater than you. That's no different than how these elitists out here think, how a Rockefeller thinks, how a Rothschild thinks, how some of these multi-billionaires think, multi-trillionaires, however much. That's the thinking of the world. That's the course of this world, how this world thinks. That's not supposed to be how we think. It's not supposed to be our thought pattern. There is a thought pattern of death, not of life. We all get the same thing. Pittance is going to work out our salvation. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 47. Right? It reads, Yahushua saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Yahushua said this, made this statement about Nathanael. And he calls him an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. In other words, this man is the truth. There's no deceiving him. Everything he says is true. Everything he does is true. And he calls him an Israelite indeed. How many of these men out here are Israelite indeed? Truly an Israelite, in whom there is no God. How many Israelites are out here showing up, lying to folks, deceiving people, on purpose calling themselves Israel? Turns out here had been started by these Israelites. That are designed to fool people. Where because they read certain things within the Bible. I was listening to one dude talk about how gold teeth are in the Bible. And he went to the book of Solomon, the Song of Songs. And it talks about how he loves his rows, something about the rows of teeth of gold and how your cheeks are something. I can't remember exactly what it says, but he alluded to how when you read this, it's talking about gold fronts, people with gold teeth. But what he didn't tell him is that all that stuff, everything that he read was in italics. And when it's in italics, that's a writer's edition, and it does not appear in the Torah. That's not an original. That wasn't originally there. The translator added that. So this is, that wasn't something that was inspired by the Most High. But they used it to support this doctrine of gold teeth. We're going to show you, and I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. How many different times have people, perfect example,
they look inside the book of Jeremiah, and it talks about how Israel's gates are languished, and all this sorrow was going on, and then it literally says they are black, and they use that to support the color of Israel. But it's not talking about the color or the hue of Israel. It's talking about their state of being, that they were depressed. Like somebody says, we have the blues. Your physical color is not blue, but it's an expression. But they use that to support their doctrine, and they are deceiving people. That's guile. And I'm pretty sure they know that. You know?
So when he saw Nathanael, he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, where you know me from? Whence knowest thou me? Yahusha answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the son of Yah. Thou art the king of Israel. So whenever we hear that, Peter said the exact same thing. When he said it, thou art the son of Yah. Oh, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. Well, flesh and blood did not reveal that to Nathanael either. So guess what? An Israelite indeed, who's having no guile, right? There are going to be things that flesh and blood is not going to reveal to him. It's going to be something that the Most High is going to reveal to them. Why? Because as they said about Enoch, he walked the Most High. All these laborers that was before him, let me find this. Yeah, waiting for 1 second. Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? Right? It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and a root out of dry ground. He has no form, no comeliness, and when he shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So as we go down, and when we read Isaiah 53, we understand it's talking about Mashiach, right? So as we keep on going, verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it from him as our faces from him. We despised him and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Elohim and afflicted. And as we keep on reading, we understand it's talking about something that the Messiah would do for us. Now, he says in John chapter 12, verse 38. Verse 36. We're going to start at 36. All right? Just to get a thought. He says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spoke Yahusha and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, he says some other stuff before that, right? But just to get this thought, he says, did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Yahweh, who have believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of Yahweh been revealed. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them. All right? So now, in order to understand the Messiah and understand who he is, the Most High has to reveal it to him because he's blinded. He has to reveal who Yahushua is to you. So if you understand who Yahushua is to you, hallelujah, the Most High, Yah, has revealed that to you. You are on your path to becoming an Israelite indeed. Okay? We can't understand who Yahushua is on our own. And because we can't understand who Yahushua is on our own, we can't work our salvation out on our own. Yah has to do it for us. We have to be one of the chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. So if you understand who he is, believe me, you didn't do it on your own. Two examples of it. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, nor Nathaniel. You just don't get it on your own. You just don't get it by reading these words. It has to be revealed to you. Why? That's the order Yahweh set up. That's the order that Yah set up. All right? So if you understand who Yahushua is, hallelujah, you are on that path. All right? And it's your job to reveal who Yahushua is, to show others. So, workers in the last days, are we going to be good workers? Are we going to be useful workers? Now, Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 21. He says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, put your burnt offerings onto your sacrifices, flesh. Now, the whole point of the sacrifices was it was instituted because of transgressions, right? And it literally says that, and I believe it's in the book of Hebrews. In fact, let's Google that. I'm sorry, it's in the book of Galatians. All right, Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed came, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, the sacrificial system came into place because Israel was messing up, right? They were not doing what they were supposed to do. So they would get a bull, get a goat, get whatever, kill it, place their sins on top of the bull and the goat, kill it, and that was symbolic of the bull or the goat. That was symbolic of you dying. The bull or the goat took your place. All right? So in the book of Jeremiah, right, chapter 7, back in Jeremiah 7:21, Yahweh says, take these burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat flesh. Eat them yourself, because I gave you this to show you that you should stop doing what you're doing. But now
You're just going out here doing these things, and you're sacrificing these bulls and these goats and this, that, and another, and you're not stopping your evil. Your evil is not stopping. You're just continuing to do evil. So it doesn't matter if you sacrifice these things to me. You're still doing evil. Right? He says, verse 22, "For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice." I didn't tell them that. I didn't talk to your fathers about that. The day I redeemed you, I didn't redeem you so you can come burn some offerings to me. I redeemed you because I remembered an agreement that I made with your forefathers. That's why I redeemed you. I redeemed you because Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were special than me. And you, their kids, so y'all special than me. That's why I did it. I didn't do that so y'all can just come out here and cut up some bulls and some goats and burn them up whenever you do wrong. I ain't do that. Verse 23. "But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice." Right there. That's what we're supposed to be doing. When we labor, we're supposed to obey his voice. That's what we're supposed to be working at, obeying his voice. Obey my voice. Obey my voice. That's what we hear from beginning to end. Obey my voice. Adam, you got kicked out. You didn't obey my voice. Israel, you going through all this captivity. You didn't obey my voice. You're going through, I got to raise up all these judges. Why? You wasn't obeying my voice. Now you got to go into Assyrian captivity. Why? Don't obey my voice. You got to go into Babylonian captivity. Why? Don't obey my voice. Keep on going. All these different captivities. Even to the point where, okay, I'm going to spread my seed out through the world. You're going to be dispersed. And guess what? You're going to be captive out there too because you won't obey my voice. You won't obey it. You just refuse to. So I got to keep beating you. You just refuse to. How can you be a good laborer, a good worker, if you refuse to do what the boss say? He hired you to work this vineyard. And our forefathers didn't do that great of a job. It was just a few here and there. But they're the ones that we have to look to. It's who we need to be like. They are quote-unquote examples. Because even when they screwed up, they repented and started obeying their voice, obeying the voice of the Most High again. Elijah got scared. He did all these great things and then ran when it came time. But guess what? He strengthened himself, obeyed his voice. Moses messed up. Abraham, the father of our faith, when he went down to Egypt, he got scared and almost caused a nation to sin. He said, because of Sarah. The king at that time took Sarah. Sarah was Abraham's sister and was going to lay with Sarah. And Yahweh stopped him. That king said, "Hey, from the innocency of my heart, I didn't take her knowing that this was this man's wife." Yahweh said, "I know, that's why I stopped you. But guess what? Return this woman back onto her husband. I know you didn't do this because of what Abraham did. I understand that." So he sent for Abraham. He said, "Hey, man, what is you doing? You almost caused me to have a great sin." That's what he said. Yahweh stopped him
And this was the father of our faith, as the word says. But guess what? Abraham went back serving. Hey, my bad. I'm sorry. Let's move on, Yahweh. Okay, son, I forgive you. Let's go. Repent. Godly sorrow causes repentance unto salvation. So he says in verse 23, he said, but this thing command I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walk in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and sending them. So, again, with the parable, Israel is that vineyard, and the prophets were the ones working the vineyard. They were the ones with the light, showing them, rising up early. What that mean? Why he even say rising them up early? What rises early but the sun? That's how we know. That's what rises up early. What rises up late? Moon, the light. But he rose those prophets up early to show forth a path. This is how you're supposed to get it done, Israel. Right? He said, daily, rising up early and send them. Verse 26, yet they hearken not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. This is Yahweh talking. They did worse than their fathers. Their fathers was hard-headed and stiff-necked. You are harder-headed and stiffer necked, more stiff-necked. He says, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they ain't going to hear you. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they ain't going to answer. That's what he says. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahweh, their mighty one, nor receive correction. Truth is perished. In other words, they're full of guile. These ain't Hebrews. These ain't Israelites indeed. They're not on the path. They're full of guile. They're full of deceit. They're full of vanities. We say, you're working the evil imaginations of your own heart, Israel. You're not my laborers. You're not. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not tending to my vineyard. You see, we have it at every job. You have the good workers, and you have the slackers. You have the ones who, whether the boss is around, they're going to do what they're supposed to do, whether the boss is there or not. Supervisors know who they have to supervise. Some people don't need supervision. Others do. You know, of your workers, if you're in a supervisory position, you know who you got to look after. You know who you got to check on. Every 5-10 minutes, you got to call. Make sure they're not walking off, making sure they're not doing, you know, making sure the work done. You know who you got to leave your list to. You know that. You know your workers. Well, so do Yahweh. He knows his workers, his good workers, to show the bad workers the way. But the bad workers will not hearken. They won't listen. They want to keep on slacking. They want to keep on
working their evil imaginations. That's what they want to do.
So he says, verse 28, he says, but thou say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of Yahweh, the Almighty One, nor receive correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. All right? So, jump down to verse 30. Well, let's not. Let's just keep on reading. 29. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on the high place. For Yahweh hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. In other words, repent. Be sorrowful. Verse 30. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith Yahweh. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. I wasn't even thinking about this. I told them not to do it, and matter of fact, I wasn't even thinking about this. That's what Yahweh said. All right? So, we're going to stop there. All right? We're going to stop there. I hope everybody gets the point. You know, that as far as laboring goes, we have to tell people, repent, because that's the message. Repent. The kingdom of Yah is at hand. We have to be those good laborers. We have the Torah. It's our duty as the workers of the Most High to show people their error, to show people where they're gone off the path at, where they stray at. It's our job to do that. You know? Like in the book of Ezekiel said, you know, you are the watchman, Israel. If you don't warn the people, their blood is on your hands. But if you do warn them and they don't listen, their blood is on their hands. We have to tell people, repent. The kingdom of Yah is at hand, you know. And we just have to show them by the way that we live. We obey that word. We be the light that they need because they see us. They know. You know, I had a lady ask me today. She was like, oh, I see you at work tomorrow. I said, no, you won't. She said, oh, yeah, it's the Sabbath. I forgot. I said, that's right. You know, I said, there's a lot of people in here saying Jesus this. They love Jesus, 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 Jesus. But they working on Jesus' Sunday. Well, my mighty one says, don't work the Sabbath. And I'm not working nobody's Sabbath. That's what I have to do. I'm not playing with this. It's not a game for me. Because it was plenty of people in there working on Easter Sunday. They go, Jesus, 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 Jesus. They wasn't in church. They wasn't giving praise to their deity. They wasn't obeying their deity. But we do our best to obey ours. And they know it. They see it. All right? And they understand. So, that being said, we're going to close up tonight. And, Yahweh, continue to bring his knowledge forth, continue to bring his understanding forth, continue to make us his good workers, provide for us everything that we need to get this job done. Where we are weak, strengthen us, Father. Where we may be lacking, just continue to fortify us, Father.
If anyone has the spirit of fear, remove it. Anyone has the spirit of doubt, remove it, Father. Let us totally rely on you, because your word is true, Father. You are the truth in this world. Continue to build up your sons and your daughters, Israel. Continue to remove any guile that's within us, Father, and continue to reveal your arm unto us. For we believe your report. We believe Yahushua HaMashiach is the Son of Yah, Savior and Redeemer of man. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. This is your brother, Dale Well. Enjoy your rest. Shalom.